Father, I'm sorry for all this.
I wasn't right to do that.
What
was it?
I was
not supposed
to do
it.
Anybody else? Is that it? Does anybody have their papers? No? Okay.
On the first one?
In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today's lesson is a brief overview of the Old Testament. And I'm sure you guys had the Old Testament before. And you guys are in servants prep, so when you guys become full-fledged servants, one of the first lessons you'll be getting will be about the Old Testament or the New Testament or both together. Now, I took the privilege of actually taking out each book from the Old Testament and explaining it very briefly, so hopefully this will give you some insight as to what the Old Testament is and how it leads into the New Testament. Couldn't name you the first five books, but as you can see, these are the first five books of the Old Testament. They're also called the Pentateuch or the Torah, right? It's the law and what the Jews and the Hebrews believe in faithfully day in and day out. You don't have to write this down. This will be posted. Oh, I won't get finished if I stop and keep.
it'll be on the website. Guys.
Yeah.
It'll be on the website.
Remember what I told you last time. This is not about copying what's up there. This is about you understanding and taking just what you understood. I have more notes as I speak. I have more notes. If you want to take anything down, then you're more welcome to. So the first book of the Old Testament is Genesis. Genesis means the beginning, very appropriate, as this is where you will find the creation of the world, creation of Adam and Eve, Noah's Ark, the Great Flood, the Tower of Babel, and etc. as we go on and read the full book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is mostly concerned with the amount of how the Jewish nation became into being, how it was formed by God, with the stories of their three most famous patriarchs. Anybody name the three patriarchs, Jewish patriarchs? Very good. All right. This lovely narrative explains why the... This lovely narrative explains why the Jewish people were also called Israelites. How they came into life in the land of Israel, and reason why they became known as God's chosen people. However, before God's people settled in the land of Israel, they all moved to Egypt to avoid a severe famine. Hence, by the end of the book of Genesis, we have the beginning of a nation, but they're in their own country, added to which the people later all became slaves. Now they need to be rescued. And that's where the next book comes in.
Now, the whole thing?
The word Exodus means simply exit. And this is the story of how the Israelites were brought out of Egypt and taken back to Israel. In this book, we find the famous story of Moses miraculously parting the Red Sea, leading his people on their amazing escape from the Egyptian slavery and through the desert of Mount Sinai. Now, it was at Mount Sinai that God gave his people, through Moses, the Ten Commandments, as well as the instructions for making a mobile tent-like temple, which is called the Tabernacle, okay? Which later become the center of the Israelites' devotion to God, and later on, the Great Temple. God also gave Moses a series of rules and regulations, which is later on called the Law, okay? That would galvanize the slaves into an organized people, which is his nation, okay? And the details of all these laws were also written down. And that brings us to the next book, which is also called Leviticus, okay? Now, in this book, it contains the law. The law is all the rules and regulations, as we mentioned, because it was the Levites, the priests from the tribe of Levi, who were responsible for ensuring that the law was upheld day in, day out. This was the rules and regulations, how to live your life, how to perform certain duties, and things to do to sustain life. Okay, to keep the people focused on God, to keep them healthy, moral, and most of all, safe. The people were also given an extremely interesting system of a sacrifice, which became an integral part of their life, the sacrifice system. Okay? Now, the next slide will show you, these are the different slides, these are the different sacrifices that they had to perform in order to ensure that they had everlasting life, just in the Old Testament. Yes? It's in the book of Leviticus. These are the five sacrifices that God established for them to perform for forgiveness of their sins. And as you guys read in Leviticus, each sacrifice has its own meaning. It is done and performed a certain way in order for you to have everlasting life or forgiveness of sins. Okay? And that can actually be found in Leviticus chapters 1 through 7. You'll find the sacrifices explained in total. Now, the next book is called Numbers. This book used to be called, it wasn't actually called the Book of Numbers, it was called Bemidbar. Okay? It's a Hebrew word. It means away in the desert. Okay? Away in the desert. Now, this is where most of Numbers took place. So, it's appropriate that you call it Numbers because it means away in the desert, and this is where it was mostly recorded. Having been at Mount Sinai for a whole year, while they were becoming reacquainted with God and getting to know God more, after the 400 years of slavery in Egypt, the people were now ready to move on to continue through their journey to Israel, the Promised Land. The first part of its records is very, very simply the census taken. It was a census, the very first census that was taken. So all the numbers were piled together, people from different places, and it was all gathered together. First census is recorded in Numbers, plus the duties and the job description of various people. But after that, the book takes over where the story of Exodus finishes and left off. As such, it draws to conclusion the three books first introduced in the Bible. Genesis, and played out in Exodus, and then Leviticus. Okay? Numbers also demonstrates the importance of holiness, faithfulness, and trust, despite God's not being present, despite not seeing God and being there. These are the three things that the Jews, the Hebrew people, really, really try to concentrate on, and to be faithful, holy, and trusting in God that He will save them and deliver them to the Promised Land. Now, the last book is called Deuteronomy. Okay? In this book, we find a short version of their history and their law as Moses records, recounts the events. Hence the name Deuteronomy, which means second telling. The retelling of the previous stories. Okay? Now, the 40 desert wilderness years later, Israelites were also, they're back in Canaan, and Moses, their leader, knew he would not be able to complete the journey with them. Okay? You guys understand that? And Moses did not deliver them into the Promised Land, but he had died shortly of entering the Promised Land, right? But before he left them, he gave the people a series of three talks. Okay? Basically reminding them of two things. Number one, the amazing journey they had just made through the desert. A journey that had gone so badly wrong whenever they disobeyed God's commandments and furthered themselves from God. And how God had miraculously and abundantly provided for them in the desert when they turned back to Him and obeyed Him. Now, second part after the amazing journey was called the law. Moses cautioned them that when they were to get into Canaan, right? The life would become easier and prosperous as they settled. They must not neglect and steer away from the law. They must continue to follow the words and the law of God. No, there were three speeches. Three speeches just about the two things. Yeah. You guys got that, right? Three speeches just about the journey and that they must obey and follow the law. Okay? Now, this next slide just shows us how the Old Testament is broken up. Now, you guys know how many books are in the Old Testament? How many books are in... I don't know.
Wait.
If you guys don't know how to do it, 31?
39.
Yes. How'd you get 39?
Wait,
yes. Because
there's 2 letters in Old and 9 in Testament.
That's right, and just put them together. Old Testament, the world, the word Old has 3 letters. The word Testament has 9 letters. Don't add them, subtract them, minus them, don't do anything. Just put them together. Okay? That's 39. How about the New Testament? How many books are in the Old Testament? The Old Testament.
Do you know the rest of the trick? So what do you do with the 3 and the 9? Do you know the rest of the trick?
For the New Testament, yes, very good.
I'm giving you a hint.
27. For the New Testament, just multiply them. Okay?
So
the
3 times on
47. Okay. So, as we mentioned, the first 5 books are Pentateuch, the Torah, okay? And then we'll move on to speak about the rest. The history, the poetry and the wisdom books, the prophet books, which are subdivided into 2 categories, the major and the minor, okay? Everybody okay so far? Everybody okay? Congratulations, you have just completed the first section of the Old Testament Bible, the first one from Solomon. Alright, let's go. Now, we all know which book that we follow in the Catholic Orthodox Church, right? Which book do we read from? Which Holy Bible do we read from? Somebody tell me.
Oh.
Yes?
New King James.
The New King James Version. Now, that's a uniform book that our church, we all read together. People also read the Catholic Orthodox, the Orthodox Study Bible, which is fine. But as a unity, as a church, let's say if the group is studying a certain book or a certain Bible, it's safe that we all read out of the same book and have the same chapters in the same organization, okay?
Wait, what does that mean from Moses to Joshua?
From Moses to Joshua?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Moses led them almost to the promised land, but he died a little bit short. So who's taking over now?
Joshua.
Okay? Now, if you remember that, at the end of the last section, Moses had brought his people out of slavery from Egypt, given them the law from God, and had led them through the desert almost to the promised land. Not quite there. So he passed away a little bit short. Moses now has just died, and his successor is who?
Joshua.
To succeed, take after. Now, Joshua is one, he's the one who led his people on the last leg of the journey and settled them into the promised land. And that's what the first book of this section is all about, the book of Joshua. Okay? Joshua, to get into Canaan, the people had to cross over where? The Jordan River. And here you will find another amazing and miraculous water crossing story, similar to the one crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus, where the people actually crossed over the Jordan River on dry land. If you have ever heard of the Battle of Jericho, found in Joshua, right? Where the walls became tumbling down, and we're here that the story fits in, plus many more amazing battles, stories in the book of Joshua, leads his people through the promised land safely. Now, the book after Joshua is called Judges. After the death of Joshua, there was a need for a leader to fight off invaders or to put down barrels on the border. Okay? Enemies trying to come and invade over where? Into the promised land. Okay? These leaders were known as judges. They were raised up and appointed by God on an arranged basis when the need arose. In this book, we read the succession of 12 of the judges. And the two most famous ones are called Gideon and Samson. Okay? Gideon and Samson were two most famous of the judges.
Spell them.
G-I-D-E-O-N. And next one, like, you know, Samson Automall, S-A-M. S-O-N. Okay, the next book after that is called Ruth. Okay? The book of Ruth is set during the time of the judges. Okay? It's set during the time of judges, and it provides a beautiful, beautiful insight into the life and the culture of that period.
The book tells of Ruth's accepting of God and of the Israelites as her God and the Israel people as her own. Okay? Because she married into Israelites, alright? And her mother-in-law was who?
Naomi.
Right? And she, what happened to Naomi? After they were leaving the land, what happened to Ruth? What did she say she was going to do? Where did she go?
She went with her.
She left her own people, and she went after Naomi and said, no, you are my mother. I will follow you and take care of you. Your people will be my people. Now, I am your daughter, and I belong with you wherever you go. Now, the other sister-in-law, she said, I'm out. She left, and she went her own way. Okay? Now, Ruth, by the way, is the great grandmother of who?
David
the prophet. You guys had this lesson before, so maybe See, I have my wife. I did this. My wife did this. So I don't know. I was working. Okay. Ruth was the great grandmother of David the prophet, and he was part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And you read it in the first book of Matthew, the first chapter. You open it up, and it tells you the people from the Old Testament. See, that's why it's important. We'll get that later. Okay. So, now the books right after that is 1 and 2 Samuel. These two books were originally one continuous book. It was actually a scroll. It was one continuous piece, which was later divided into two parts because it was so long. So they decided to say, hey, you know what? Let's split it down into two books, so now they're complete. Hence their name, 1 and 2 Samuel. Samuel tells a story of the prophet Samuel and the story of the Israel's very first king, King Saul. Alright? 2 Samuel, a little bit different, tells a story of Israel's next king, which is King David. This was the God-fearing young man who began life as a what?
Shepherd.
Killing a
lion and a bear.
And also Goliath, right? Simple slingshot, shooting in the head, and he dies, right? Now, 1 and 2 Kings. 1 Kings tells the story of Israel's now third king. Who's the third king?
Solomon.
This was the king who built the first magnificent temple to God in Jerusalem. Solomon began his reign wisely and became famous for his
wisdom.
Very good. But the book also recounts disastrous effects that happened because of his unwise decisions. Now, 2 Kings tells a story of what happened to Israel after King Solomon's death. Alright? That's 2 Kings. Bad leadership causes civil war and the nation virtually splits in two countries. The southern area became known as Judah, and the northern area retains its name Israel, right? Also Samaria. Okay? That's why, as you see, and this happens and this continues on even to the Old Testament with the Samaritan woman, right? When Jesus, our Lord Jesus says, doesn't matter if you worship here or across the mountain, right? Because Jerusalem is the southern part and the northern part was Israel. So at that point he tells her, doesn't matter if you worship there or here. It's worshiping God. Now, 1 and 2 Chronicles. These two books contain a short retelling of the events contained in 2 Samuel and also 1 and 2 Kings. Alright, concerning the southern kingdom of Judah. Okay? Now, the book after that is called Ezra. Now, it is now 70 years later, and during those 70 years, God's people lived in exile in where? In Babylon. While Jerusalem had just... I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No.
Okay. Now, Jerusalem had just lain in ruins after Nebuchadnezzar had ransacked the city and destroyed its precious Jewish temple built by Solomon. And what did they ransack and take from the temple? Everything. They took everything. Okay? All its gold, all its glory, everything that our Lord God devoted and loved and they did as God explains them to do was ransacked and taken for his own. The book of Ezra records the events of the first two waves of people who returned to Jerusalem after their exile in Babylon. Okay?
The first was a man named Zerubbabel. He led the first group home. Back home, okay? Not a group home, alright? The first group back to Jerusalem. And was responsible for the rebuilding of the temple. Very important, okay? Responsible for the rebuilding of what? The temple. Ezra led the second group back home to Jerusalem and was responsible for rebuilding of the spirituality of the people and bring them back to life centered on who? On God. Now the next person is Nehemiah. This is the continuation of the account of the homecoming from Babylon back to Jerusalem. Nehemiah led the third group home and was responsible for the massive and the task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem to secure the city. Alright? Why? Now you're rebuilding the temple, okay? You're building morale and the people are returning back to who?
God.
After being so low and they're being exiled for so long, so now you want to build a temple and build through morale, have them return back to God. Now you want, what do you want to do? You want to protect what you have, right? Now you want to put like an ADT alarm around the temple, okay? Now, the next person. Next person is Esther, right? Beautiful story. Now, Esther was a Hebrew girl, cousin of who? Mordecai, who later became queen of Persia and bravely saved her people from a planned execution of all the Jewish people. Jewish people till today, they take a special, they have a holiday for everything. But one of the holidays is just for Esther, right? It's called Purim. And each year the book of Esther is read out loud in the temple. Okay, next slide. Congratulations, you have just completed the second section of the Bible. Alright, next. The next five books is called the Poetry, the Wisdom Books. Alright? Anybody read the story of Job? Anybody add? What can we say about Job?
Everything. He's patient. He believed, he loved God very much, and he believed in God very much.
Perfect.
And no matter what, so.
Yep. Isn't there a saying in Arabic?
You.
Is that right? Yep. Is that fine?
Yep.
Okay. He was very devout, very spiritual, and very God-fearing and God-loving man. He had wealth. Everything that he could ask for in life was applied to Job. Okay? And so God complimented Job. God complimented Job. Right? And he said, look at this man. See how amazing and how wonderful he is. A man after me and who loves me so much. So who gets upset?
The
devil, Satan. I mean, not just gets upset, but what he does to Job. Has anybody read the book of Job? Read anything? Yes? What could you say? Isn't it amazing, right? God takes everything. Everything he owns. I'm sorry, not God. The devil, Satan, right? Takes away everything this man has. His family, his children, his wealth, his land, everything. And what does Job do?
Pray.
He continues to love God. And he depends on God. Right? And it's a perfect example of why do bad things happen to what?
Good people.
It's a great example. Read the book of Job. It's amazing. So at the end, what does God do?
Everything back.
Yes, everything back. God restores his life. And he has children and wealth and property and everything over again. Right? Now, the Lord's praise of Job prompted Satan to challenge Job's integrity, suggesting that Job served God simply because God had protected him. God removed Job's protection, allowing Satan to take his wealth, his children, his physical health, but not his life. In order to test Job's character, despite his difficult circumstances, he continued to follow God. He begins a search for the answers to his difficulties. God then rewards Job's obedience and patience during his trials and restores his life and doubles his original riches. He has seven later sons and three daughters. However, his previous children remain dead. Okay, now, the second book is Psalms. Now, can you guys tell me who's the author of the Psalms?
David.
Right? All of them or some of them?
Most.
Some. Most. Okay? There are several authors of the Psalms. Okay? I want you guys to understand that. David did not write down all the Psalms. Alright? Now, the Psalms are praises, prayers, hymns, and David used to play them on a harp, so to consider some of them are music to God. Now, and the book of the Psalms is also just exactly that. They use it today as a hymn book. It was a Jewish hymn book during that time. And these beautiful psalms are still used in Jewish temple. In the Hebrews, they're still used today. God bless you.
Thanks.
Okay. We have here certain psalms written by these certain authors. Okay? These different authors. Just for your knowledge, if you guys plan on going back to these slides or if they're on the website later on. Okay? Some of the most common prayers that we use, even in Mass, Psalm what? In Isaiah, Psalm 51, and Psalm 1 in Mass. Okay? Now, what's Psalm 23? Very good. You come often, don't you? Okay. Now, the large portion of the Psalms were written by King David before and during his reign over Israel. Other authors, as we can see there. Okay. Now, the next book after that is called Proverbs. Written by who?
Solomon.
King Solomon. The four Proverbs were written by King Solomon. The Proverbs were written back then and are like certain Proverbs that we use today. They're short, wise sayings that express knowledge and truth. Such Proverbs, you hear that... you can catch more flies with honey than you can catch with
vinegar.
Okay? Another one is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him
drink.
You come often through it, huh? Okay. Those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw what?
Stones.
Shouldn't throw stones, okay? Those are recent day proverbs. Now, the next book after that is what? Ecclesiastes, which means simply philosopher. Okay? Ecclesiastes just means philosopher. Now, many of the proverbs were written by King Solomon and were collected by him. Those collected by him were written by wise men. Okay? It's amazing to see how many of the famous sayings that we use today originated and were incredibly ancient proverbs. The book is in the form of an autobiography telling of his investigation and the meaning of life. Okay, if you go ask somebody, a college professor of philosophy, what's the meaning of life, you will never finish. He will never let you go, or she will never let you go. He's a philosopher. Many different meanings, different sayings. You can open a book, have 1,000 different books to mean one thing. Okay? Now, the next book after that is the Song of Solomon, also known as the Song of what? Song of Songs.
It's like
Ecclesiastes?
Yes.
It's a collection by King Solomon. He wrote them down, but they were gathered by wise men. They were sayings of wise men. So the Song of Solomon, also known as Song of Songs, was written by King Solomon. It is also created with the authorship of his book. It's an authorship. He did it. He was written by him. And it takes the form of very beautiful series of love poems, okay? Between two people. Okay? Now, the prophets. We said that the prophets are they're divided into two categories. Which categories are they? Somebody? Major and minor. Why are some major and some minor? Can somebody tell me? Raise your hand. From the three boys, don't we have that? Once, twice, three times? Alright, from the ladies?
I think it depends on how long the books are.
Yes, exactly right. It's not how important, who they talk to, what happened, what kind of life they were. Just simply, the major books were longer, the major prophets have longer books, and the minor prophets have shorter length books. That's it. Okay? So, the individual books of the prophets tells the story of each one's life and his teachings. Alright? So each prophet his book tells about his life and his teaching. Some of the prophet's messages involved telling the future, prophecies, and their messages were very strong and life-changing to many people. But predicting the future was not the main role as a prophet. The prophet's task was to proclaim and deliver God's message. Okay? Simply, a prophet means what? What does the word prophet mean?
Messenger.
Messenger. Messenger of God. What's the message? Who got? Where did he get the message from? From God. That's simply the meaning. Okay? Now, the prophet's task was in life to proclaim God's word. They sometimes spoke to individual people, sometimes to a particular tribe, or sometimes a particular group of people other than or including a nation. Okay? A messenger of God is to deliver God's message in a clear manner to his people and allow them to understand and to feel God's presence. Now, I mentioned Isaiah, okay, as one of the prophets, and if you read Isaiah chapters 28 to 33, announces that a royal Savior, the Messiah, will emerge in the aftermath of the Jerusalem's punishment and the destruction of his oppressors. Okay? Also, one of the prophets was Daniel. Okay? An amazing story depicting just as the God of Israel had saved Daniel and his friends from their enemies, he would also come again and save Israel from their present oppressors and their captivity. Okay? So, the main basic job description was to correct the moral and the religious life of God's people and to show them back to the way of God. Okay? The next slide is the Poetry and Wisdom books. Okay? So, the Poetry and Wisdom books explains the Golden Age, right? Safe, stable, and safe nation. Okay, the previous category of the books called the Poetry and the Wisdom belonged to the Golden Age of God's people during the time of King David and King Solomon, when the nation was safe, was prosperous, okay, and stable. They were a very, very powerful nation. Alright? Now, but the book of the prophets belongs to the Dark Ages of God's people, when the nation had become divided, the north and the south, and dark because the people were turning away from God and embracing the false religions of their surrounding nations, intermarrying other people that was against the law, and many of these religions involved living extremely immoral lifestyles, not accepting to God's law and his commandments. Therefore, God raised up prophets to bring his people back to him. Okay? So that's why the prophets were established, so that they can come and teach the people back to the way of our Lord, alright? Back to the way of God and His will. Now, if we can go back to that slide showing, I want to show you the subdivision of the prophets way back. A lot more. That one with the black. There you go. So, these are the prophets, the major ones: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. We mentioned Isaiah and Daniel, right? Now, the minor prophets are how many? 12, right? Starting from Hosea to Malachi. Those are the 12 minor prophets, okay? Now, this is basically what the section of the Old Testament is about. And this is the end of the Old Testament lecture. Now, I want to ask you guys simply, what is the connection between the Old and the New Testament? Can somebody tell me something that would connect the Old Testament to the New Testament?
The New Testament fulfills what was said in the Old.
Very good. Very good. In what?
Like all the prophecies about Christ.
Prophecies. Fantastic. Actually, I have a prophecy here. Is there a Bible? You guys have Bibles, right? Does anybody not have a Bible? Do you guys bring your Bibles with you to class? Are they supposed to have? Anybody does not have a Bible?
You don't have one? I'm very serious. If you do not have one, please let me know so I can get you a Bible. A New King James Bible, right? All right.
I'll take one. I borrowed Gabby's.
Okay. Okay, great. So how many do we need, guys? Don't be... Let me know. Three, four. Arabic or English? English. Okay, great. All right. So, who said the prophecies? I want somebody to open up Isaiah chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 7, verse 14. And then somebody else from the boys, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Somebody from the girls, Isaiah 7, verse 14. Anybody got it? Just raise your hand. You got it? Can you, nice and loud, okay? Yeah, chapter 7, verse 14.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall come conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Whoa, whoa. This is the Old Testament, right? This is the Old Testament, okay? Now, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23.
Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.
And if the Bible is a living thing, right? God wrote the Bible inspired through authors. Okay? Now, if that's not amazing, that doesn't put a smile on your face and say, wow, like, what else can you say? Really, this is the Holy Bible. Isn't it just amazing? Like, God said this hundreds or thousands of years ago, right? Thousands of years, and it's happening, and it happened, right?
What is the second verse?
Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Okay? So, I don't know, maybe you guys won't seem so excited, but I was very excited right now that I said, wow, it's amazing.
Isaiah
7:14,
right?
Yeah, 7:14. Okay, next one.
Wait, so, like, his real name is Emmanuel?
No, Emmanuel means our Savior. Okay? Alright? Yeah, it's another name for God. Yep. Okay, now, somebody from the ladies pull out Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3. Chapter 8, verse 3. Yeah, yeah, like what's your name?
Eddie.
Matthew, chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. If you haven't, just raise your hand. This is my son. Deuteronomy, we said chapter 8, verse 3.
So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
But he answered that it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Who said these words? Who said these words in Matthew? Jesus Christ. Where was he?
Being
tempted on the temple. Right? And he had fat on the mountain. And he fasted how many days? He was fasting for how many days? And what did he eat day and night? Nothing. These words God said himself. Jesus Christ said himself. Where did they come from?
Deuteronomy,
the Old Testament. Right? Amazing, amazing, amazing. Right? Okay. So, the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament and the prophecies. Now, it's important that you guys understand and learn the Old Testament, because if you open up Matthew, the first thing, the very first thing it tells you what? The genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know who Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jesse, and it tells you, oh, our Savior will come out of, right, Judah and everything, then you're going to say, wait a minute. This is not right. It is right. It's just because you don't know. You don't study it and you didn't learn it. So it's important that you can open up anywhere. Start from anywhere in the Old Testament and just start reading. Okay? Eventually, you'll ease your way through and you'll understand why the stuff in the two New Testaments happen. Like the Samaritan woman. When she tells Jesus, oh no, you know, who are you talking to? You know? Get away. You can't talk. And Jesus Christ says to her, listen, doesn't matter if you worship this side of the mountain, that side of the mountain. Okay? Jesus Christ is real. I'm talking to you. So it's important that we understand why these things happen. That the division of the kingdom. Okay? And this happened in the Old Testament. Alright? So, the New Testament claims its indebtedness to the Old Testament on the very first page. Matthew begins with an Old Testament genealogy that makes sense only to those who are familiar with the people who are mentioned in the Old Testament. Okay? That's chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Okay? If you guys want to read through it. If you have never read the Old Testament, you will not know those who are mentioned and their significance in the New Testament. Thus, the New Testament signals at the start of the engagement with the Old Testament that touches every page and makes great demands on its readers to understand. Now, the Old Testament was the beginning of man, corruption, separation from God, and God brought his prophets and his people back to learn how to return back to God and stay on the right path through what? Through law, sacrifices, and the teaching of the prophets. The New Testament is who now? The New Testament is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior to show us the way to God. Now, it's no more prophets. It's our actual Lord and our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is living, okay? And He shows us the way back to God, and He gives us the Lord's Prayer, right? Teach us how to fast. The establishment of baptism, which in the Old Testament was what? Circumcision, right? Now, who becomes the ultimate sacrifice? Is there any more sacrifices in the New Testament? No, but who becomes our sacrifice? Our Lord, Christ Himself. Okay? Now, somebody open up Exodus. Chapter 12, verse 46. One of the girls under the two Exodus. I'm sorry, John chapter 19, verse 36. John 19:36. Somebody open up Exodus 12:46. Who has it?
12:46.
12, verse 46.
Okay.
John 19,
36. John 19:36.
In one house it shall be you. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break none of these bones.
Okay. And that's referring to... First, that's the sacrifice, right? Now, the New Testament. John 19:36.
For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken.
Now, the Old Testament is sacrifice, right? And that certain sacrifice, none of its bones of the animal that was to be sacrificed. Remember, unblemished and a clean animal, none of its bones were to be sacrificed, right? But bloodshed was supposed to happen. In the New Testament, Uncle, what did he just read? That, now, this is during crucifixion, right? And then what does the centurion say? Now the scripture has been fulfilled that he will die and what? None of his bones will be broken. But there is bloodshed. So it's a sacrifice. You guys know that part, right? You guys understand that. Okay? Any questions? Any comments? I hope you guys came away with learning something from this lesson. You guys have any questions, please let me know.
Or any of your fellow servants.
Thank you guys.